Welcome to our Bible study on the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also want to invite you to join us for the in-person Bible study on Wednesday from 5:15 to 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Today's Bible study is short, probably less than 10 minutes, so we have time to back up in Acts to chapter 15, verse 36, and see that Paul was now launched on what is generally known as his second missionary journey. In fact, some of you may have maps in the back of your Bible outlining Paul's three missionary journeys, although it is not clear if Luke intended to divide Paul's travel formally into three parts. And if we look at chapter 16, verse 6, not part of our passage, we see that Paul and his companions are now going through the Phrygia and Galatian territory because Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to enter into Asia. Luke feels that at all the great turning points of Paul's career, he received divine guidance, either through direct vision, such as at Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 5, and here at chapter 16, verse 9, or the inspired insight of others, as we see at chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, and at chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Our passage begins at chapter 16, verse 9, where Paul receives a vision of a man of Macedonia. We are not told how Paul knew the man was from Macedonia, whether it was through his clothes or his accent or the spirit. Although there is no evidence, at least one scholar speculates that it was Luke. At verse 10, for the first time, the narrative shifts from the third person to the first person plural, we sought to go, which lends support to the idea that Luke has now joined the mission. At verse 11, we are told they went to Samothrace, an island halfway between Troas and the Macedonian coast, and, being over 5,000 feet high, is a prominent landmark. The wind must have been favorable, as the voyage only took 2 days, compared with 5 days on a later occasion at chapter 20, verse 6, although on that journey they were going in the reverse direction from Philippi to Troas. Neapolis is the modern-day port of Kavala, Greece, and was a port second only to Thessalonica. At verse 12, we are told they went to Philippi, and despite what Luke asserts, Philippi was not the leading city. Thessalonica was the capital of the province, and Amphipolis was at least of equal importance in the neighboring district. Still, Philippi was an important city, and as a colony, its citizens enjoyed the same rights as Roman citizens in Italy, and the colony did not have to pay various taxes. From Acts, we would think that Paul's stay at Philippi was relatively brief, but he remained long enough to lay the foundation of a strong church, which he regarded with a special affection, and which remained unwaveringly loyal to Paul, and is the only church Paul consented to receive financial aid for himself and not just his mission. We are told at verse 13, on the Sabbath, which would indicate that Paul and his companions continued to worship as observant Jews and continued to go to the Jews first. At this time, there are no specific references in Acts to Sunday, the first day of the week, as a day of worship. We won't see that until Acts chapter 20, verse 7. The term a place of prayer can also be a synonym for synagogue, but in this case, the term seems to designate a marginal location, outside the city gates, beside a small river on the southern edge of town. No formal worship service is described, which may indicate that the city lacks a quorum of 10 Jewish males, which is necessary to congregate an assembly of Jews for worship. And this supposed lack of a large Jewish population in Philippi would explain why, as we will see later in the chapter, opposition to Paul is not from Jews, but from pagans. This more informal setting allows Paul to sit, which is the custom of a teaching rabbi, with a gathering of women. At verses 14 and 15, we meet Lydia. And here are seven things we learn about her. 1, she is from Thyatira, which in Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, is mentioned as one of the seven churches, and was a city supposedly known for its textile industry. 2, we are told she is a seller of purple goods, and only royalty, the very rich and very powerful, wore purple cloth. So she rubbed shoulders daily with society's rich and famous. 3, in the next verse, at verse 15, we discover she owns her own home. So we can imagine that she is a very successful businesswoman dealing with expensive merchandise, quite an accomplishment in any circumstance and time, and even more so back in those days. 4, because Lydia is a Greek name rather than Jewish, and she is described as a worshiper of God, another term is God-fearer, and is used to describe Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 2. We assume she is a Gentile. 5, the Lord opened her heart to receive Paul's message, a reflection of her character and sincerity. 6, she was baptized with her household. No husband is mentioned, which may indicate she is divorced, widowed, or, because of the way it is phrased, she is unmarried, and the household would consist of her slaves. If she is divorced or widowed and has children, then household would include slaves and children. 7, come to my house and stay. Again, she owns her own home, and her gift of hospitality is yet another indication of her responsiveness to the word of God. Although Lydia is not mentioned in Paul's letter to the Philippians, Lydia becomes a model of that minority of early Christians who were wealthy and whose homes functioned as meeting places for the church and provided hospitality for traveling missionaries. This type of networking contributed greatly to the expansion of early Christianity. In conclusion, Lydia is the first convert to the Christian faith on the continent of Europe. Many times people are presented as having to hit rock bottom before they are able to receive God. But in Lydia's case, that is not true. Lydia is wealthy, successful, sincere in her desire to worship God, and her heart is opened to receive God. She then in turn opens her home, offers the gift of hospitality, and by the end of chapter 16, after Paul and Silas are released from prison, they return to Lydia's house, where fellow Christians have gathered. Her home has already become a house church. Lydia has put her faith and discipleship in action. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care, and God bless.